This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can all be seated? I'd like to share something with you tonight. For about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We've been having classes in the back on favor. And if you haven't attended the classes after Sunday, do so. They are very informative and will enlighten you. So I'll give you just a little insert, and this has already been taught back there, but it deserves being shared because it's called supernatural flow of favor. You have God's favor, and God's grace is favor. So if you have God's grace on you, then you have his favor. And that's not just in one part of your life, that's every part of your life. Spiritually, physically, and financially. That's how favor works. But favor works by your faith. And you have to exercise faith to get favor. Because you've got to believe that he is. And if you read the Gospels, even those who came to him for healing, and said, "Would you heal me, Lord?" He says, "Canst thou believe?" He needed to hear that from that individual. So no matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what you're believing for, can't you believe? Because that's what God wants you to do, is believe. If Satan's trying to take you out and you want delivered, can you believe it? Because your belief is what's going to deliver you. Your faith, because that's what God's waiting for. That's the divine connection. And as soon as that gentleman says, "I can, Father, I can, Jesus, I can't believe," he was healed. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, and I should have went and read it, but you get the gist of it. It takes faith. You've got to exercise faith. So here's a little insert on supernatural flow. Amen? Let me read this book and comment, because I think you're going to like this. Supernatural flow. You may have areas in your life that are dry, where you are just laboring, areas of your life that seems like it's permanent, but it's not. Get ready. Can't you believe? Get ready. Get ready. Things are about to flow again. God is about to do something unusual, something out of the ordinary. You can't make it happen. The odds are against you, but the source is going to send a supernatural flow. Amen? So we don't look at the source. You don't look to your businesses. You don't look to your checking accounts. You don't look to somebody that's greater than you to show you the way. You don't do that stuff. God is the source. And as soon as you get your eyes on God, the better off you're going to be. Your source is not you. You can't figure things out. Your mind just gets too tired. It's a carnal solution. You can't do that. You got to get your eyes on Christ. It's a supernatural flow that you're going to cause to flow. It may look as though that dream has dried up, but favor's about to flow. Finances are about to flow. Good breaks are about to flow. The right people are about to flow. You are not going to have to find them. They're going to find you. That medical report may not look good. You might feel stuck in your health. We all got stuck sometimes. I've done it. I've had things that come upon me. I got stuck. I thought, "Why, Lord?" And then you start that spin in your wheels. "Why me, Lord?" You know the song. And pretty soon you're in the molly grubs. And it's hard to get out. Depression is a real thing, brother. It's hard to get out. It's hard to get out. And you need Jesus. But receive this into your spirit tonight. Healing is flowing. Strength is flowing, restoration's flowing, freedom is flowing. You can't get ahead in your career. People have held you down and left you out. Stay encouraged, for the flow is coming. Promotion is coming. It's going to flow. Creativity is about to flow. Ideas are going to flow. Receive this in your spirit. Healing is flowing, strength is flowing, restoration is flowing, and freedom is flowing. Now, come on. Don't leave it go. Come on, hold on. You know the saying, Saturday is coming? Jesus is coming. Come on, hold on. Hold on. Receive this into your spirit. Healing is flowing. Strength is flowing. Restoration is flowing. And freedom is flowing. And once you're set free, you're out of the molly grubs. You can believe God. You can release that faith that God wants you to release. Now your spirit is clear. You're not saying, woe is me. You're saying with faith, God, heal me. Heal my finances, Lord. I'm a giver. I don't want to be in the molly grubs. I'm believing God for finances so I can give. That's supernatural favor. And you need to believe for that. And you can't quit believing for it. See, circumstances doesn't send you in a direction unless you allow it to. Those circumstances are just temporal. Jesus Christ's word is eternal. You can't take the temporary to get the long term. You have to believe God for the eternal answer. Sure, it don't look good now. It doesn't. Short term never does. And there are short term satisfactions. But God's going to give you favor. God's going to send you a divine connection. Church, I'm saying a lot here tonight. I hope you're grasping it. God's going to send you a divine connection. God's going to send you. Who is that divine? That is what God uses. That is a resource that the source is sending. Don't look at that divine connection as a source. It's temporal. It's temporal. So God's going to give you a divine connection. He's going to give you that favor. He's going to open doors that you could not open. And he's going to close doors, Gary, that you can't even close, brother. That's what he's going to do for you. Believe it? You got to believe it. Things are going to change. We're going to have supernatural flow now, in this life, now, right now. Now do your part and get in agreement with what I'm telling you. God is creator. He's the most high. Nothing may be flowing now, but the source knows where all the treasures are. He knows how to have you at the right place at the right time. Come on. Amen. He may cause you to strike oil, but he can give you one idea that will catapult you to a new level. Come on. Amen. One idea. That's all it takes to catapult you to a new level. One idea. He did for us when we were acquiring Compact Center. In this book, he had bought new land, and God had moved in his behalf to buy that land. But we got a call on a source. And I'm not going to go any further. I just wanted you to get that tonight, that favor is here. All you have to do is believe for it. It's supernatural. So as you give into the kingdom of God, as you believe God, God's going to open you up. Jabez in First Chronicles, his name was Jabez because he had pain. He was born in pain. He was a dry birth, I think, and his mother named him Jabez, which means pain. Well, listen to this. He didn't settle for that. He says, no. He says, no, this can't be, Lord. No, I want to be a blessing. He says, Lord, expand my borders. Listen to this. He says, expand my borders, Lord. Open up my heart, Father God, so that I may grow in you. Bless me indeed, Lord God. He didn't quit. He asked God to bless him. And God did bless him, brother. Bruce, God blessed him. Because he asked. That's why. And that's what we got to do. You want supernatural favor? Ask him. If you want a good idea to promote your work, ask him. And God will do that. Don't be ordinary, because you are not ordinary people. Can you understand that? You are not ordinary, not by a long shot. You are extraordinary. And God will see you on that level when you come up to that level and release faith on that level. Amen? We're good a minute? Yep. Okay, thank you. I'd like to share something with you.
real quick.
I was before the Lord. He gave me a word, and this word was for this church. And I held on to this word, and I didn't give it because I didn't have a real opportunity to stand here and do that. And there is continuity in a service. So, and you got to respect the Holy Spirit. And that's what I did until now. But please listen to this, because this was given, and know that this was given December 11th, 2021. Okay, it says, I have raised up church. Thank you. I have raised up the church for this hour, saith the Lord. This is you. I have raised up the church for this hour, saith the Lord. And only the true worshipers will see my move of the Spirit in this day, saith the Lord. So rise up, get up, put your hands up, and look up, for your redemption will thwart evil and do righteously. Many will come in this building and say, I need truth and hope. And you will tell them that great I am, the God of hope, is what they need. And they will be born again and used in this church. Faint not, nor slumber, for the outpouring is here and the boldness is here, becoming of them. And they are not silent anymore, because the church will speak of my goodness, says the Lord. And signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. Signs of fire in their hands, and wonders of healing, and miracles they will do. They shall not glory in themselves, for it is my glory, saith the Lord. But you shall be humble, and I will lift you up, because you sowed in faith, and you will reap the harvest of abundance with no lack. For your needs will be met at the time you pray. A new day is dawning. The outpouring has begun, saith the Lord, for the faithful church and the believing generation. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest of souls, saith the Lord. Listen to this. The Red Sea is closing, saith the Lord, and your enemies will be no more. It is time of harvest, a season of plenty, and remember to thank the Lord, telling him, only you could have done this, Father. You alone are Lord God. Listen, Satan's corona crown will be gone. It will be no more. Your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren shall find safety in the womb once more and be born once again into long, healthy life. You will have a year of jubilee, saith the Lord, and debt will be gone. You will walk free, come into the house of the Lord, and owe no man anything but to love him. All this is of this day, this hour, this generation, and it shall happen and will happen, saith the Lord. That's for you. Amen.
That was good. We stand upon that word. Amen. It's good to be in the right flow. Every church has a certain flow, and some of those flows are, I've been to different flows and different, you know, every church has a flow. And some of them are more rapid than others. You know, some of them are like, hold on. But that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just different. And this is a good flow here. Some churches are really good at worship. Some churches are really good at preaching. But I believe this is one of those churches that is good at both preaching and worship. So that's a rare thing. So we thank God for this place. So as we just close up this idea of favor, I have a couple thoughts. I've been also reading this book. I just got it, I think, Sunday. But I'm on chapter 7. And one, if we can look at the story of Noah real quick. In Genesis 6, verse 8, if you can pull that up there, thank you. I don't know if someone that could pull that up. It's really cool how there was all these people in Noah's time that weren't doing the right thing. They weren't doing the right thing. I don't know if they didn't know any better, if it was just so bad they didn't know what was right and what was wrong. But there's this one guy, Noah, who knew the right thing to do. And it says here in the Bible, in Genesis 6, verse 8, but Noah found favor with the Lord. Everyone say it with me, found favor. So, you know, God's looking across the earth. He's looking at us. He's looking at this church. He's looking at this city. And he's looking for those that he can trust to do what he asked us to do. People of character. And God, help us to be found faithful. And here in verse 9, it kind of tells you why Noah found favor with the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Talk about being alone. You know, imagine you look down your neighborhood, you look down this way, you look across your city. You're the only one not doing what they're doing. Can you imagine? Actually, you probably can. We're living in a day somewhat becoming more and more similar to that time. But he was blameless. He kept doing the right thing when everybody else folded and started doing the wrong thing. And people didn't know what was right or wrong, but he stuck to the word. Somehow he had the word in front of him, and he had fellowship. He was in close fellowship with God. So what's the connection? The connection is this. When you are in fellowship with the Lord and you do the right thing, you're going to become in a position of what? Amen. Favor. That doesn't mean that he likes you more. It just means you're in a place to receive because you've sown. When you sow righteousness, you reap, the Bible talks about. So you're in that river. You're in that flow of blessing. Like Brother Bob was saying, you're in that flow of blessing. And you know, it's really cool that Noah's kids got in on that blessing. We don't even know if they were righteous or blameless or had fellowship with God, but somehow they got on the boat. And of course, we're all descendants of Noah. When people say you're from Adam, that's true, but I'm really from Noah and his kids, right? Yeah, because everyone else perished. So here's what I want to reiterate. If your parents walked before the Lord in a righteous way, you're in that line of favor. You're in that line of blessing. Well, say they didn't. Well, you can make the change. You can change the tide and you can say, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. And you can change that. Put them in a different river. Amen. We're going to swim in this river over here. And one more story. You guys hanging in there? This is also in the book. It's called The Power of Favor by Joel Osteen. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses." So at one point, God looked at Joshua and said, "Hey, starting right now, you're going to be in a line of blessing. You're going to be in this river of favor. Today, I will begin to make you a great leader." And I also love this other verse about Joshua. I always go back to it because I wonder if the next thing I read to you happened before he said, I'm going to make you great. Let's look at it before we close tonight. Exodus 33, verse 11. If you want to turn to that, Exodus 33, verse 11. I love that. "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you." What's that mean? You're going to start to stand out. You're going to start to make people say there is something about this person. And I think this, what I'm about to read you, happened before Joshua 3:7 happened. Are you ready? So Exodus 33:11 says, "It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone wanted to make a request of the Lord. Everyone who wanted to make the request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp." Kind of like going to church. "Whenever Moses went to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrance of their own tents." Let's see what happens. They all got out of their tents to see, Moses is going to church. Let's see what's going to happen. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tents. They started worshiping. God's presence fell, the glory fell, even at their own tent, which was some distance from the tent of meeting. And they began to worship. When the people's, okay. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now listen to this. This is the main part I want to get to. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, that's Joshua. Check this out. Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. What is this all about? You might have heard this story before, but let's visit it again. He was hungry for more of God's glory. I mean, the church service was over. Everybody probably started making dinner, but Joshua stayed in there for the remnants of the glory lingering in that room, in that tent. So I'm telling you, just like Noah, when you spend time in fellowship with the Lord and you're hungry, you're going to come to a place. What did I just read earlier? Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Amen. I've been around people and I'm like, I just like that guy. I just like that person. And I find out that they spend lots of time with the Lord. I find out that they are in their word all the time. And there's just something you want to be around them. You want to hear what they have to say because they're walking in favor. Amen? Can you guys stand one more story? I read this the other day. It's about Elijah and the woman with the oil. Remember that story? Elijah, the prophet, he hears from God. He speaks to this woman. And apparently this woman is him and his, this wife, this woman and his, her husband who passed were friends of Elijah. That's how he knew her. So he went to her house and said, what do you have? And she says, I don't have anything. She was like, they're about to starve to death. She says, what do you have? She said, really nothing. No, what do you have? Do you have anything to offer to the Lord? She said, well, I have a little bit of oil. And the Lord spoke to him and said, tell her to gather all the pots in the neighborhood and bring them to her house. And she didn't ask why. She just said, okay. So she gathered, or her kids or whatever, gathered all these pots and brought them into the house. And as she poured this little vial of oil into this big pot, it kept pouring. You know the story? You know the story? And so she was told, as long as you have that pouring, it won't stop. So she just poured it from one pot to the next. Probably dripped a little bit on the ground. She's like, whoa, it's still going. This is a miracle. And then she goes to the next one. It keeps pouring. She fills up all the pots that she had. I bet you she was thinking, I wish I would have got more pots. So she filled up all the pots, and she sold the oil to pay for all her bills. And she became pretty blessed, pretty favored, pretty wealthy. And the point I want to bring out is this. The healing wasn't in the water, it was in the obedience. You know, it's a challenge for us as humans who like to figure things out. Now, why am I supposed to do this? Why am I supposed to not do this or obey this or only do this? Or, you know, and it's just a wonderful thing to God that we just say, I'll do it. I will obey. Even if I don't understand, I'm going to obey because I want to be in the line of favor. I want to be under the spout where the glory is coming out. And that's a challenge for me, maybe a challenge for you, Even if you say to yourself, why? You know, God tells you, go over here and do this. And you split second say, but why? Lord, let us not stop at the why. Lord, let us just say, but at your will, I will do it. I will obey. How many times have we reached out to somebody? We were nervous. We didn't know what we were going to say. We didn't know if they were going to slap us or walk away or make fun of us. But we stepped out. And, you know, we're just stepping out in faith. And they open up their hearts and they receive. And God shows up and something special happens. And the favor is poured out in that situation. And they receive Christ. Because we're just saying, I want to be obedient. I want to obey. And that is the challenge for me and all of you. God, even if I don't know why or don't understand, I'm going to do it because you tell me to do it. Help us not to be stubborn or stiff-necked. You know what stiff-necked is, right? People that are stiff-necked think they know better and think their way is better. Because we always done it this way. So this is the way we're going to continue to do it, you know? But God might say, hey, we're going to do something different today. We're going to turn left instead of right. Why? I don't know, but God told me I'm going to do it. So Lord, help us. She was gathering containers and didn't know what she was gathering containers for. She was just obeying. She probably thought, this is the dumbest thing in the world. I got this much oil, and I got all these pots. What is going to happen? I'm going to fill up the little pot, and then it's going to dry up, and it's going to be done, and I'm going to look stupid to all my neighbors. But she said no to all that reasoning and did it anyways and started pouring in the face of stupidity. That's stupid. It's going to fill up a little bit at the bottom and be done. Say it with me. Lord, help me to obey even when it looks stupid. Yeah, if he tells you to do it. Same way with Naaman, who the prophet told him to go get a bath in the Jordan River 7 times underneath the water, and it's dirty. Is that the Jordan? Is that what? Seven times. Why isn't 3 enough? Why isn't 4 enough? Why 7? He almost talked himself out of it, and I think his servant said, just go do it. It won't hurt. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to tell us, just go do it. You're going to miss your favor. You're going to miss your blessing. Just go do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, just go do it. Yeah. Even when it doesn't make sense. Naaman did it. Guess what? His leprosy was cleansed. The 7th time he got up and he looked down at his missing finger and it was there. It came back. Or his missing whatever. His missing nose or felt his ear. There, my earlobe's back. Because he was willing to obey when it doesn't make sense. I don't know why God likes that, but he likes us when we obey when it doesn't make sense. Because he just wants us to say, I trust you, Lord, I'll do it. Because what is that? That's faith. Faith says I'll do it, whether it makes sense or not. Amen. You tell me not to worry. You tell me to rejoice. Even in a pressure-packed situation, money, inflation is going up, or this is happening, you're telling me to invest or buy or do this. It doesn't make sense. But if God speaks to your heart, you do it, I guarantee you, it'll come out to be a blessing. Let's stand tonight. So Lord, help us to be like Noah and have fellowship with you, even in the face of all the opposition around us. People laughing at us. It hasn't rained in months. Years, and you're building a boat. That's the stupidest thing ever. Why are you building a huge boat for just you and your family? No animal was going to come up in there. You know, all this stuff you're thinking as you just worked. How many years? How many years did you work on that boat? Huh? 100 years on a boat? Can you imagine after 60 years thinking, it hasn't even rained in 60 years. What's going on? Why am I doing this? But he just kept doing it. Why? Because God spoke to him. God spoke to him. So Lord, help us to obey when you speak. Help us even when it looks silly, stupid, or it doesn't make sense to our natural reasoning. Lord, help us just to lay it at your feet and just continue to pound or obey or whatever you tell us to do. Keep pouring, whatever you want us to do, Lord, help us to obey. Help us to not give up. Help us to not get weary in well-doing. Lord, bless us tonight. Thank you for the favor. I speak the favor of God, your favor, Lord, on each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that our children are blessed, that our homes are blessed, that our jobs, when we walk into our workplace, the whole workplace is blessed because we are there, and your favor is on us because we are your willing vessels. We're willing to do whatever you call us to do. We lay it at your feet, Lord. We lay our pride at your feet. We lay our stiff neck at your feet. We lay it at your feet, Lord, and we say we're pliable, we're moldable, we're changeable, and we are willing to be transformed in our thinking to think like you. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.